Hosted by Claudio Cortez, this is Modern Macho, a gentleman's exploration and guide to being a man in today's society.
Welcome back to Modern Macho. This is your host, Claudio Cortez. With me today, I have Roberto Lopez. Roberto, hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on the show again.
Thanks for having me on tonight. Yeah.
Apart from Roberto, we have Emil Campri.
Yes, welcome. Thanks
Hi.
For having me.
Thanks for being here. And of course, Alberto Molina, right?
That's my cousin, Alejandro.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
Long
thanks
day, terrible
for the invitation.
Well, I thank you guys for being here. I'd like to start off by going around the table and just kind of having an introductory session as to who everyone is and what it is that you do. Let's start with Roberto.
Okay, so basically, I work as the online marketing director for Futuro Studio, but what brings me here, what brings us here today is the Open Space Project, which is a project that invites community people to work together to collaborate in a space that's open to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's essentially why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that was kind of efficient, I suppose.
Okay.
And Emil, what's your background?
Yeah, so education is primarily my main focus. Mm-hmm. So I teach at North Park University. I teach in the MBA program. I teach microeconomics and consumer behavior. Also a social entrepreneur, started an entrepreneurship incubator where we're trying to encourage more people to step out and try to become entrepreneurs, to try to build communities and take into aspects the things people are doing from the tech community, people are doing filmmakers, people who do fashion, the arts, and try to find a creative, cool space where people can in fact build. It all stemmed from my 21st Century Youth Project, which is an after-school program where we teach middle and high school students to make mobile and web applications, and then from doing that program, I realized that, hey, adults need to have some support and services too. So that's how I kind of started this incubator project. And from that, realized, hey, we need to also give back to the community and also be a place that people can look to as a resource. So that's how we started the Open Mondays, Open Studios, for just that purpose, an opportunity for people in the community or for anybody and everyone to kind of collaborate and come together.
Neat. And what's your involvement, Mr. Molina?
Alejandro. Carlos.
It's Jim.
So,
thanks.
First of all, thanks again for the invitation. My involvement in sort of youth development stems back 30 years. I'm on the board of the Cultural Center, the Puerto Rican Cultural Center in Humboldt Park, which is a multi-service agency,
mm-hmm.
a not-for-profit that has both an AIDS program, a youth center, a child care, and has a close affiliation with a charter high school, Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos. I'm also on the board of Youth Connection Charter School, a 4,000-student charter located in the IIT building that has 21 campuses, all in low-income minority neighborhoods. It specializes, and in fact, it's probably a unique charter in the sense that 95% of the student population that we recruit are dropouts. According to the CPS definition, they've been out of school for anywhere from 3 months to 2 years. So this is where they get a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so now let's tie this all together. So how do you all know each other?
So I think Open Space, that project is actually the connecting factor. So basically, Open Space was opened up in Humboldt Park. It's been open in Blue 1647.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known Alejandro and have started conversations with him about a hackathon in mm-hmm. Humboldt Park. So that ties in that
okay.
digital aspect
so
of what
we're
doing.
For those of us that aren't quite literate as to what that means, what exactly is a hackathon?
A hackathon is basically, well, a hackathon is where groups and teams like get together and work on applications, like in this case, web applications.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are data driven, and in this case, that's kind of what we're thinking, like a visualization project.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all sorts of hackathons where they're sometimes sponsored by like different APIs or different third party software creators, right, that give away their API so that people can actually do some creative stuff with it.
Interesting.
So
what's the overarching goal for it?
For this hackathon in Humble Park?
Yeah.
Basically, what we're going to try to cover is a data set, an educational data set that deals with issues in Humble Park. And not only in Humble Park, but maybe even in Puerto Rico, because we've started to talk to other people out there that have similar data sets in terms of like dropout rates and things of that nature.
Yeah, and I think ultimately a hackathon is just an innovation exercise. It's an opportunity to get people together in a finite amount of time and say, hey, let's build something cool. And at the end, that's the culmination that you can celebrate. And hopefully from there, when you get people forced with a time limit, time constraints, they build something together collaboratively as opposed to tinker here, tinker there. They have to get something done. And it ends up being a pretty cool exercise.
Interesting. So these are some educational data sets that you're working with. I understand you're involved in education and you're involved in education, Alejandro. What's your involvement in education?
So basically my involvement is just to give people opportunities and access with regard to technology. So however we can do that. So that's what the Open Space Project is. It's open to everyone and anyone. But at the same time, like, we want to kind of teach. We want to teach education, right? We want to show people. We want to show people things about technology, like API, software development, social media marketing, things of that nature. And we're even thinking about an open space having a workshop on Rails development. So just starting that through like other things that exist already, like Coursera or Skillshare, just kind of facilitating that conversation through those mediums.
I guess devil's advocate, what's the importance of it? What's the point of it? Why create these systems?
Yeah, I mean, because it's important, because it's this is
just I don't think that's the answer here. I just got to put that out there.
I mean, do you have any input on this?
Yes, first, I think Roberto's a liar. All kidding aside, I've known Roberto. I actually held him in my arms once. I've known him since he was born.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So that makes me really old. Right. But having said that.
I was going to say he's really young.
Right. Well, the overlapping thing I think here is part of what Roberto says is sort of how do we grow a technology, a culture of technology in our respective communities? Because there's a dearth, right? So I think the overlap is between Roberto and Open Space, be it in Pilsen or Humble Park, finding and trying to be the magnet that encourages young, independent, individual people either down the road to entrepreneurship in the tech field, right? Or maybe they just want to take classes. My point, and this is where I come in, I came to him with the idea of the hackathon after we had talked about it. I was invited in Humble Park. There's sort of a layer already of tech cadre that we've grown over the past 15 years, either graphic designers, photographers, web developers, you know. And so one of them who had been with one of the programs of the center, his name is Sam Vega. He was with Bate Urbano, our youth center, and currently he's the online editor for OI, newspaper. So he came to me and on the basis of having attended Migra Hack, which was a hackathon at the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana, I think, earlier this year, and this is what Roberto was saying, the whole purpose of the hackathon there was to use data sets to illuminate a specific aspect of the immigration reform problem or process. So four or five teams, had 48 hours to build a website around a specific problem. So one team built a website that illuminated the lack of access to healthcare for undocumented residents, right? The second place team tracked worldwide immigration to the United States on a continent by continent basis and then dug down into country by country over a period of 10 years. Fascinating, colorful graphs, right? So at the end of 48 hours, there was a panel of judges, right? Famous in different fields. Each team, at least for the Humble Park hack, we're envisioning five teams of five people, community activists, web developer, programmer, maybe a data. But we also want to use the process to mentor. So we reached back to Roberto Zoll High School, Clemente High School. We've talked to the principal. They'll have a teacher and a student. Mm-hmm. Right? How do we make this a point? We don't want only the talent to come from Humboldt Park,
right.
But we want to make sure that people grow, right, in terms of knowledge and a possible profession.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And just to add to that, so basically I left off with it was just plain important, right? But another aspect of it being so important in like Humboldt Park and Pilsen is that most of these programs, like things like this exist everywhere. But the problem is that they don't exist in these communities. So
right.
Yeah. So that's the importance of like open space, right? So bringing these kinds of things like Next Door and other like incubators into like communities that for whatever reason just don't have them.
Right. So I guess for clarification on my end, so is open space an incubator in itself
it's not, but on a different level? Yeah.
Perhaps?
It builds paths to those. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if people want, like people are used to like going to traditional like places to find like the same sort of messages, like here, build a business plan. Like, mm-hmm. you know, these are the ways you go and you develop business. But there's so many other ways to do it now, right? There's minimal viable products that people should probably understand if they're going to build like a web application mm-hmm. or just kind of like, you know, testing and listening and iterating. There's just concepts like that people just don't understand. And even though they're ready to like build businesses or do more mm-hmm. Or build projects, like, for whatever reason, like they just don't have the resources in these communities. And so I'm hoping that open space builds that path to like Blue 1647,
which
or
is,
maybe even to 1871.
Yes, the entrepreneurship incubator.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're trying to build people and build.
So is it a funnel then?
Yeah, we're just pipeline. Trying to cultivate talent, you know, and really make the barrier as low as possible for someone to engage and hopefully they benefit and they see, hey, maybe I feel more comfortable stepping out if I know I have that kind of minor league system that I can jump to.
Interesting. And so what was your involvement in the hackathons on?
Well, I'm not involved with the hackathon,
oh, okay.
but I'm going to take a look at what they do, and I'm going to borrow them and say, hey, can we please do this here as well? Because ultimately, I think we share the same vision of trying to cultivate talent. We're trying to galvanize support for certain issues that are really important to the communities that are underserved, that mm-hmm. really need different types of people looking at this data. Because once again, we can look at data in so many different ways, but based on who interprets that data can give you a completely different conclusion. And by doing that, you know, by incorporating more people, by making it easier for people to contribute, we just make it that much easier for different perspectives to hit the table. Because once again, there's data that comes out in the newspapers and magazines that might be shocking to some people, but mm-hmm. for people who are in the communities who are experiencing that, it's like, oh yeah, of course, that's a no-brainer. So that's the importance of bringing in different people, different perspectives.
Okay. So, I mean, it's about problem solving. So what specific problems are we talking about? Are we talking about immigration? Are we talking about educational disparities? What exactly?
Well, I think
what are we shining
the
light on?
The Humboldt Park Hackathon is speaking specifically about education and sort of to drill down deeper, there's a plan that we've been talking about, and in fact, it'll be approved on Wednesday by the Chicago Public Schools called Community as Campus. And it purports to try to organize a social capital among the different educational institutions in Humboldt Park, starting from childcare to elementary feeder schools to alternative and charter schools to the public school anchor, Clemente. Mm-hmm. Right? How do we get these organizations, some of them behemoths in and of themselves, to work together? How do we layer? How do we find out? And this is where the data sets come in, right? What are the obstacles to parents, right, being able to help their kids, right, succeed? What are the obstacles to developing youth? Mm-hmm. What do they need to face? Is it just gang boundaries? Is it drug problems? You know. Mm-hmm. So the point is, we want to be able to ask the questions and have in the hackathon have the teams access the data sets that will illuminate these specific problems.
Right. Okay. This kind of brought up a different question in my mind. So, Roberto, I assume you went to Clemente. You're a product of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're facilitating this. What led you to do that? How are you different from some other random kid in Humboldt Park? What made it different?
For me, as opposed to like everybody else, I'm not sure. Like,
yeah.
I lived in my circumstance. I mean, and I'm a product of my circumstance.
Right.
It's neither a good thing or a bad thing. But what drives me to this is, just basically that after I was done with college, right, looking for answers to start a new business or to do these things. Like the regular business development centers just didn't have the right answers, right? Because I was already technology savvy, but I was looking for my answers in my community and no one had them.
Right.
So looking outside of that and again giving people access to information that they're not privy to is really important.
I think one of the things you're missing, Roberto, is having known you since you were born. When you left, you went away to college. You went to Urbana-Champaign.
Yeah.
And you became a web developer, right?
I graduated in computer engineering. Yeah, but then after that, I did.
My point is, to speak to what Claudio was asking, you were already on a track, right? And as you so eloquently put it, what was missing was nobody was doing the same stuff in the community.
Yeah, exactly.
So the determination to come back and contribute, right, in open space, in Humble Park or in Pilsen, I think is a powerful motivational incentive for other young people to say, wow, I should take advantage, because we didn't have that kind of network before.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we talk about, just to cross the bridge over to the hackathon, when we talk about organizing, Emil made reference to organizing communities. One of the ways, not that it's the only way, of cultivating, of growing a culture of technology that I think really, really we don't have either in Pilsen, in the African American community, or in Humboldt Park, that's a collective, right? You have geniuses, no doubt.
Right.
You have people that are skilled at stuff. You have people that prefer Linux and PCs to Macs. I don't know where I remember that.
I think this is the conversation that you and I
had. I think this is a disagreement about a year ago that we had. But having said that, it's got to be something where people understand, how do we give back in a way that makes it last, right? How do we encourage the concept of over-the-shoulder learning, as they say, right? It's where youth teach youth.
Mm-hmm.
And adults or people who know more are resources,
right,
as opposed to teachers.
Right. Right.
But I say that only because the thing of organizing this hackathon, we're already reaching out both, as Roberto mentioned, to the governor of Puerto Rico. His CIO is really into hackathons, as well as the mayor of the largest city in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Carmen Yulín, who was just here as our guest of honor for the parade 2 months ago. CIO, right? As well as here in the city, we're collaborating with the Illinois Institute of Technology.
Right.
Our board president is a professor there. And with LISC, the Local Improvement Support Corporation, right, a major funder nationally about what we can do. They're the funder of Smart Communities,
right,
which exists here in Humboldt Park, is responsible for the funding of the Pilsen portal as well as the Humboldt Park portal. So lots of good things. And the idea is, how do we get this stuff to ferment and what can we organize out of it?
Right. So how do you ensure that you're not just preaching to the choir?
Well, to me, that's the whole point. The organization of the teams. So in some ways, how do we split this up? The organization of the teams, part of the making sure we don't, in some ways, there is no choir, right?
Right.
By going to the different community high schools and educational institutions.
Right. But aren't you just kind of pulling out the kids that are interested in that to begin with?
Yes and no. Yes, we want that. On the other hand, I'll give you an example. At Clemente, they don't have a tech club or a tech team. They used to have an excellent robotics club that doesn't exist anymore, right? The principal has said, I'll put the word out, but I know we'll find one teacher and one student who may be, who like tech, who want the idea of the hackathon, right, who will contribute. So in some ways, I'm not looking for people who start from scratch. I'm trying to get what there is, just like open space, right, and say, okay, these are the people that are at least predisposed to liking tech on their own, whether or not they're Game Boys, you know, Xboxes, or anything else, and how do we do something that's productive? Yeah. So our issue in this case is education, the dropout rate, community as a campus.
Yeah, and that just goes back to like what we were talking about earlier, which was, when you look around, when you're done with everything and you're looking for resources in the community, how do you make sure that you have those resources in the community without them leaving? So you have to have like things that they're interested even in the community for those answers, for those resources to still be there, because otherwise they'd go elsewhere. They'd go to like 1871 or they'd go somewhere else, right? And then how would you find those resources in the community later on? So just going back
what steps are being made in order to, even for like open spaces, I mean, how are you ensuring that you're not just attracting people who are just going to go there and trying to find something like that
well,
in the first
place.
Or is that just a hurdle?
Yeah, I don't really think that's the issue, right? Like, I think if you have like an environment, an ecosystem within the communities, then basically other people that maybe aren't ready for it, or maybe haven't had it, maybe that's something that they can look at and say, you know, wow, this is something that I can do. Maybe this is something that I should aspire to. But without that, like in the community, without having something like that, that's so like low hanging fruit type thing, right? I can just go next door and attain it. Like, it becomes more difficult.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know.
The other take on this is in the organizing, let's say I can tell you the process that we want to follow for the hackathon is we'll be going to make presentations at the different high schools and even Wright College. In Humboldt Park, there's a campus of Wright College called the Humboldt Park Vocational Educational Center. They teach A++ programming, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll make presentations, and I think it's that our capacity to be able to make presentations, to talk about this as a community-wide event, not a bunch of geeks or nerds in the corner, right, we'll never be heard of except on Facebook or whatever,
right,
as opposed to why it's good, why we should learn from this. Why our little brothers and sisters can be better at us than this,
right?
Right. How do we sort of cultivate that example, knowing that there are young people like Roberto saying, okay, I'm here. I'm a resource. Use me.
Yeah. No, I think it's really amiable, the fact that you guys are combining, you know, the social justice and social movement with technology, and it's inspirational. I think it would be inspirational to other youth to ever listen to the show.
Yeah, because I think one thing as well is, you know, people always talk about the digital divide that takes place, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, people having access to the internet, people having access to computers, and that's something that, you know, depending on what studies you read, it's been shored up in many ways. But there's also this big growing gap about who can actually create for these platforms they actually consume. So you might have students who all have smartphones who can, in fact, access the internet through that means, but how many percentage of the people in black and brown communities can actually build on those platforms? So I think the nice thing about hackathons is also the celebration, the culmination event that takes place where you go ahead and show exactly what it is that you built, and you invite your friends and family and have them come to see. And then that word spreads to say, okay, well, this person built this. It was pretty cool. You are smart. You like math, or you like science, or you are capable. Maybe you may be interested in that. And I know for us, you know, one of the things that we're have to make sure we do is always establish like a pipeline of talent. And that's where my 21st Century Youth Project came into play, because I said, you know what, let's try to build this talent. And, you know, maybe we start with them when they're freshmen, but by the time that they're college seniors, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a couple bad characters, you know, who are really going to bad in a good way, I should say, who are able to really build some different cool things. And I think that by doing that and by having them to see examples of Roberto who are successful and who are doing great things, that only inspires them to want to do that even more. And you almost have to attack both ends at the same time, because it's definitely a chicken and egg problem.
Right. So it's grassroots tech, essentially. Yeah. That'd be a safe comparison.
Right. When you don't have, like, it's obviously not a funded organization or a movement.
Right.
It is saying, what can we do with what we have?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also recognizing a need, whether in the case of Roberto and Open Space or in general around tech development, that we have to rise to the occasion, right? How do we grow our young people to say, this is a possibility, right? And so in that sense, I think the issue of the digital divide is sort of always one of the things that we have to contend with,
right?
I had this argument with, actually we ended up agreeing with Abraham Velasquez Tello, one of the founders of Gozamos. It was, at one point he had made a suggestion that Latino parents should start buying their kids iPads instead of high-priced gym shoes.
I agree.
No, I'm not disagreeing, right? And the reason we ended up agreeing was that how do we grow a culture of technology where a value, a premium is placed on using an iPad as a technological tool instead of the 21st century VCR, right? In other words, you got to take care of the kids, pop a tape into the deck, and go do what you got to do, and they can be stupefied watching a movie.
Yeah.
Right? In this case, it would be Netflix or Amazon Plus.
You know, I was just reading an article in The Atlantic about it was a study of parents with toddlers using their iPads to kind of be the new surrogate TV, kind of like nanny thing. So initially, you know, before a child's 3 years old, you're not supposed to put them in front of a TV because it essentially just zombifies them. But they're trying to track the difference between interaction with like a pad device, and the mental development. I don't know how I feel about that, quite frankly.
I think that by not giving our kids tablets, at least at the childcare, right, age, and by that I mean, what is it, two to five?
Yeah.
I consult with the childcare. They just made everybody sell tons of chocolate bars. They bought 7 brand new iPads and holders. And apart from that, they're paying for PD, for professional development and application research. So they're rewriting the curriculum, the lesson plans, based on what they want to teach the kids. So gross motor development, the idea of identifying colors or drawing shapes, right, or numbers. There's apps for that, right? And it really sets a precedent, or maybe an example, I believe, because there are people that are not Latino and not Black. They get these resources, right? And that's providing an advantage that we are not able. So, yeah, parents, listen up. Get smart. Stop buying such expensive gym shoes and buy iPads, buy Android tablets, buy whatever, but get hip to what they need to do.
Right.
Right. Because the more they don't do it, the more we fall behind. And it speaks to the issue of the digital divide. And there are different takes, as Emil said, on it. Right. My take is it's really an exponential. It's about the digital divide is not about access. In the early stages, it looked like it. That was, people can't get on people. But now, for the you get a $9.99 rate from Comcast. If you fit into the free breakfast program, if that's what your income bracket is, you're eligible for $9.99 internet. Buy Comcast, right? You can get cheap computers. You can get pads. You can get phones, whatever, right? So really, it's about the construction of knowledge. The more we are denied access to the sand, which is the internet, we're not able to develop critically the capacity to fuse and turn it into glass. That's the construction of knowledge, because the internet is not knowledge. It's a bunch of crap that's floating out there, right? But it's our ability to be able to mine stuff, think about it, change it, right? To me, that's the problem that we have to address in the digital divide, because it's a generational problem.
Right.
It's not, oh, we can make it up into, because generations fall behind and they impact other generations. That's my point. It's a much more, it's a much deeper problem that will have, or have a deeper impact than we realize.
What's your opinion on that? That's a, it seems kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things is you wouldn't be able to argue with anyone now to say, is it good to be able to read and write, right? Literacy from its most basic foundation, no one will argue with you on that. But then the whole ability to be able to create and be able to build and use the data, use this, these tools that are out there to create your own innovation economy within these different communities is just a powerful opportunity ahead of us. And I think that one of the things that we've seen is that in so many different in certain communities, you've been able to have a culture of entrepreneurship, of innovation, and all these other ideas that are, you know, fostered in many ways. And imagine if you open this whole opportunity up to a culture of people that don't traditionally have that. I think if we take a look at the imprint that minorities have on every single aspect of life, whether it's film, fashion, music, so on and so forth, imagine that this technology frontier is right ahead of us, and we need to try to get as many people as digitally literate to actually create for these platforms. And I think that just unlocks a whole world of potential that just hasn't been there. And it's easier now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because you have more people with different interfaces and different platforms and different tools and different things. Imagine how great that could possibly be, but it takes some hard work from folks like Roberto and Alejandro doing that just every single day.
And Emil.
Yes.
Well, I think, and your take is also true, that I want to, at least in Humble Park, and I think it's something that will be looked at, there's an emphasis on sort of the Horatio Hornblower, right? The heroic individual striving against all odds to lift themselves up, sort of the bootstrap. Yeah. And at least for my parents' generation, right, coming across as undocumented residents and then figuring stuff out, you know, it seemed to have, they were coming to, you know, sort of the West Side Story, you know, myth of the streets were paved with gold, mm-hmm. right? It was the American dream, right? But now, without putting a bleak spin on it, the problems that we, or the possibilities of success we're describing here, so we're surrounded by communities that are dysfunctional,
yeah,
right? And how do we try to sort of move against that tide in a way that doesn't say, you, Claudio Cortez, save yourself. You're young, brilliant. You can do this. Get out of here. I always tell young people when I speak that there was this horrible, I liked it. I just like hated the theme of it, a TV show called The Jeffersons. I don't know if you all remember that, right?
Yeah,
the theme song was Moving On Up, right? I can still hear it in my head.
Yeah.
And as I grew more aware and more of an activist, while I love George and Luizy, it bothered me that the message to our community was that there is nothing of value here, right? You need to get out. That our kids know brand names before they know the cultural institutions in our community, before they know resources about historical memory, is a problem,
yeah.
right? So we're just teaching them to be better consumers, right? Emile's point about how do we start teaching digital production, whatever your field
versus
is.
Versus digital consumption.
Right. I mean, they've out-organized us. Everybody wants music. Everybody wants to see video. Everybody wants to consume. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we sort of say, okay, against incredible odds, let's try to figure something out. This hackathon is part of that.
So this hackathon is, you know, stepping behind the figurative camera, as it were. Yeah. So when is it?
It's in January. We haven't figured out all the details.
No, we did. Oh, we did. Okay. I'm sorry. It was another meeting last week, but it's January 24th.
January 24th.
It's the weekend of January 24th, which I think is a Saturday. So our idea, of course, this is all in my head, is so far. I mean, we've agreed that it'll be an opening Friday event where we'll have people from the community, maybe some elected officials, et cetera, et cetera. Welcome, dinner, right? We'll have then open it up on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We'll be in one of two buildings. We'll figure it out, but obviously fast internet access. We'll either have a combination of teams bringing their laptops and have some Linux machines with either P. He's giving me a look, audience. I just, you know, want to put that out there.
Yeah, I told you about that Linux.
But anyway, with some languages, right? Some programming languages installed on, pre-installed. Lots of Latino/Puerto Rican food provided by the community restaurants and caffeine. It'll be literally 48 hours, and then at 4 o'clock on Sunday, from 4 to 8, we'll do the judges, right? So Abraham doesn't know this, but we're going to try to fly him in, right, as one of the judges.
Neat.
Yeah, and, you know, but also we'll have professors, tech professors, we'll have community people. The point is we want this to be as much as possible. We want it to be an event the community understands as something that could be the norm, right? Instead of a flash in the pan that happens every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's what we see. And then the first prize, and we're raising money, so don't hold me to this, for each team will be a MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. So that'll be 5 MacBook Airs. Second prize will be Chromebooks for the team, right? For the second place team. Mm-hmm. And we haven't figured out the...
you know this is going online, so
yeah,
you're
okay
going to be held
that.
That.
Yeah, I think we were better off when we didn't know the date.
Send your donations to me.
Where do I sign up?
So anyway, that's the idea now. And Roberto said he'd raise all the money.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what I heard, at least.
Or at least out of his bank accounts.
Right, one of the other.
But don't hold us to any of that, okay? Thank you.
There will be a hackathon in January.
There
right?
will be a hackathon in January, yeah. That's for sure.
Do it because you like it, not for the prize. That's well, actually, gentlemen, that's probably the time we have left. I'll leave the floor open to any closing remarks that might be out there.
I just say that if people in Pilsen are looking for a space to work on projects, and if they're looking for resources to go to open space at Blue 1647, and if they're in Humboldt Park and they're looking for a place to do the same, then they should go to Nelly's conference room on the second floor. And that's in Pilsen, it's on Mondays, and in Humboldt Park, it's on Wednesdays.
Cool. can we find you guys on social media and or the internet?
You can find everything under localchicago.com.
Right now. Spell, there we go. Localchicago.com. Yeah. And how can we get in touch with you, Emil?
Yeah, you can go to blue1647.com or mm-hmm. we're at blue1647. And just Google us if you need, if that doesn't seem to work out.
I'm on Facebook. I've got too many emails to identify one of them. I'm on Facebook. We specialize in tech and education, Web 2.0, consulting for school institutions. We also do a lot of human rights work around Puerto Rican political prisoners. Hit us up on Facebook.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The future of technology all in one room. And to quote the great Hank Williams, if the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll see you all before long. Oh.